Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Now, let me see. I want to go over to Paul. Paul Whittington, how are you, Paul? Are you there?
I am, Dave, yep.
Come on yourself. Okay, let's start at the beginning here, because normally you're here talking about movies on a Saturday, but it is Sean Connery. Tell me about Sean Connery, who died today at the age of 90.
Well, you heard his voice there on the news, Dave, and it's unmistakable. I mean, everybody had a bad Sean Connery impression, didn't they, in the 80s and 90s? And he was a huge star. I mean, obviously, you can't mention him without mentioning Bond, but he did so much more than that.
Yeah, he always wanted to break out of Bond, and he bloody well did, didn't he?
He did, absolutely. He was keen. He did, after he did the first four or five in a row, he just was sick of the whole thing, and he was more interested in doing other work. And then in the early 70s, he left. He was tired of having to wear a toupee and things like that. And he immediately went into, remember that Sidney Lumet film he did, Dave? The really grim kind of crime
that
thriller.
That would be Sidney Lumet for starters. Which one was it?
In about 90, it was in the early 70s. And it was, I remember seeing it on television in the 80s, and I couldn't believe how grim it was and how different he looked. And he just finished the Bond films. He was superb in that. And he wanted to show, I think, that there was much more to him than this. As Bond, though, he was, they always do the polls. They did a poll a couple of months ago, didn't they? And he always ends up on top. I see Roger Moore's estate has expressed their sadness and said that Roger Moore always said he was the best Bond, but I think everybody thinks he was.
Sorry, Roger Moore always said that Connery was the best Bond.
He did,
but
yeah.
Of course Connery was the best Bond, for crying out loud. No contest.
Yeah, but I think part of the reason for that was because he just was so physically intimidating, and that was had basis in fact. He was a tough guy from... Mm.
I can't believe you haven't mentioned Darby O'Gill yet.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think he'd arise from the grave and run after us if we mentioned Darby, because he wasn't very proud of that. And in fact, he never did really do accents. I mean, even in The Untouchables, for instance, he was supposed to be an Irish American cop. He was just himself. He didn't really do accents, but he didn't have to. You just sort of believed him anyway. Now, Darby O'Gill was. When he was knocking about, he'd been in a few big films, Another Time, Another Place with Lana Turner, and he was kind of at a loose end when Bond came along. And he always said that he went to the audition and he kind of acted like he didn't want it. He looked a bit scruffy. He said it was kind of a tactic to kind of interest them, because everybody else would have been turning up looking like David Niven, who was who Ian Fleming wanted to play Bond. But Connery had something different, and the producer saw that straight away.
All right, so tell me something else. I mean, it all began in Edinburgh, working class, all the rest of it. And did he always want to be, he was a factory worker father.
Yeah, and he joined the Royal Navy when he was 16. He worked as a milkman. He worked as a coffin polisher, whatever that is, and a lifeguard. He was a bodybuilder. He was good at football, actually, and he considered turning professional, but then he decided acting would be a better long-term bet.
Yeah, and he was in Dixon of Doc Green on the telly.
He was, which a lot of people won't remember, as it's this kind of sort of hokey, rather stiff British crime series. And he tended to play baddies because he was big and kind of menacing looking. And he got a break in South Pacific just before that, in 1954, sort of stage production of it. I think he met Michael Caine around that time, who was another long-term friend. And they would later star together in a great film called The Man Who Would Be King, which inspired... a John Huston film, which inspired, of course, the Indiana Jones films, which Connery then had a part in.
Yeah.
But as I say, he knocked around through the 50s, and then Bond just changed everything for him. And in ways he didn't necessarily like, he wasn't always very comfortable with the idea of being very famous.
Did he ever say which was his favourite of his five Bonds? Obviously, From Russia with Love is the best.
I think he tended towards From Russia with Love, because he would have had a fondness for the first one, but I think he thought that was probably the most perfect, sort of the best one, and it had Robert Shaw, and it's a very good actor playing the dyed blonde villain, and so on and so forth. And I think Lottie Lenya was in that one, wasn't she? So I think that was probably his favourite, but he was not gone on them. He didn't like talking about them, and he was very quick to want to move on.
By 72, that movie you're talking about is The Offence from Sidney Lumet. It was kind of one of these kind of
cops. Have you ever seen it?
Yeah, I have. I remember it now in terms of, the Sidney Lumet stuff is always like that. It's really quite difficult, New York usually or something. But the point is that he was like, it's kind of, his life was so grim of the things he had to do that he's sort of driven a bit bonkers in the whole thing. Yeah. So anyway, like this stuff, like, I know The Man Who Would Be King got an awful lot of praise. I didn't think it was nearly as good as people thought. But I mean, this is the middle of the 70s and then Time Bandits and that. What about the 80s? Was it good?
The 80s was a great decade for him, Dave. He won an Oscar for The Untouchables. You know, whatever one may think of that film, he was very entertaining in it as the hard nut. Things like The Hunt for Red October. My favorite performance of it, probably The Name of the Rose, which I liked. He was the kind of the monk, medieval monk detective in it.
But I mean, the comedy side of him. I mean, like when you Indiana Jones, he was very funny.
Yeah, that was a bit of a surprise to me, actually, because, I mean, in the Bond, like if you look at the Bond films, the quippiest and lightest was Roger Moore, obviously. And Sean Connery's Bond wasn't that funny. Even when he was telling a joke, he looked like he was going to kick your head in. So he wasn't that funny. But in playing in The Last Crusade, he was hilarious as Indy's dad. And he was very, very effete. He didn't like bad language and he was a physical coward. And he actually made that film. He was excellent in it. So he could do comedy when he chose, but he didn't choose to very often.
Yeah, and he didn't come out of things too well in the private life in terms of the autobiography of, was it his ex-wife?
Yeah, his first wife, yeah. And then that I think was an unhappy relationship and that was her side of it. So I suppose we don't particularly know. And there was a kind of a controversy around a 1960s interview he gave relating to striking women and so forth. But he was very quick to kind of defuse that. And I think it was some men's magazine in the 60s, which is a long time ago. Mm. But the other thing, of course, his other sort of passion was the Scottishness. I mean, he was a big donor to the SNP. I see Nicola Sturgeon has come out and paid a big tribute to him. And yeah, he's a big deal in
Scotland.
He's
proud Scotsman, all right. Yeah, here's one of the texts here, just one word, Zardos. Do you remember Zardos?
I remember a very unfortunate outfit in Zardos.
Yeah, that's right. It revealed bits.
It did.
Anyway.
But do you remember in Trainspotting, when Renton and Sikpor at the start?
Oh yeah, well they take him off.
Actually,
now as I think of it, just now I was in a movie with Sean Connery. Just thought about it now. There you are. It's amazing what you can forget. There was a movie where we used to, where all these students had to go outside Trinity College, and we were all bussed off down to somewhere in Wicklow, and it was the first grade train robbery.
Oh yes, that's that what was filmed. Yeah.
And it was Donald Sutherland himself. In fact, he was there, or else Donald Sutherland was there at the time. We weren't. I didn't do a scene with.
Yeah. Well, you could have introduced this.
I'll never forget.
I see my former co-star, Sean Connery.
Yeah, right, indeed, yeah. I want to pay tribute to my former co-star, Sean Connery. But we were all in the crowd having to shout at people to hang this person from the rafters of some place.
Right.
And we had to shout and scream. But, like, it was meant to be set, like, in whatever, 100 years ago. And, like, there were St. Bernard pullovers and stuff like this. And you could see people with watches on their wrist and that going, kill him, kill him. And as we were doing that, somebody had to escape from the jail behind. But anyway, there you go.
It's actually not that bad a film.
No, it's a good film. Yeah, currently, yeah. One of the reasons being, I was in.
Because you were in it.
Paul Whittington. Listen, Paul, thank you very much indeed. Good
Thanks,
luck.
Dave.
Take it easy. Good man yourself.
I admire your courage, Miss...
Trench. Sylvia Trench. I admire your luck, Mr...
Bond. James Bond.
Thank you.
on 2FM.